KSCU Santa Clara presents Robots Attack. Movies, TV, video games, comic books, tech stuff, news, music. If it is geek, it's on Robots Attack. Participate in the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at Robots Attack Me, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
That's right. Welcome to Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Center talk show here on KSCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. I am Joe, and with me, of course, is
Caleb.
And
Jason.
That's right. We're here to bring you the entertainment of geek and everything else in between. So, gentlemen, how have you been?
I've been pretty good. How about you guys? I'll let you go first, because I feel like I might take a little while.
Oh.
I don't know.
Well,
not really.
Then. I'm doing pretty good. I messed around with a bunch of interesting games over the weekend, and of course messed around with the classics as well.
Mm-hmm. You also messed with your facial hair, it looks like.
I less than messed with it, sort of. I left more than usual, so... So yes and no.
Give the audience, since this is radio.
I usually have like the half lower like Norwegian goatee thing going.
Okay.
And this time I tried out the full on goatee, mostly because my razor ran out of juice.
It's a very important.
even though it's not a gas powered razor, it was like. Just dead. I didn't feel comfortable shaving my upper lip with the state of its quality.
Okay, I can understand that. I can understand that.
Yes, definitely.
So, I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued, Caleb. So, lay it on us.
All right. So, August 1st, which was last Thursday, was my birthday.
Wait, what?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. We totally forgot.
Damn it.
Dang, we feel like bad friends now.
Yeah.
But you were redeemed on Friday. Because these two guys showed up with a bunch of my other friends at Dave & Buster, BJ's in Newark, and it was fantastic. And better than that, like, it was a surprise party. So my wife like had me going like hook, line. I was like in the boat, in the cooler, like ready to be served, like level of like unprepared for what I was for people being there.
I know you were trout.
When she sent out the email, and like since there were still a couple shows beforehand and sort of figuring out things, I was like. So afraid I was going to spoil it, you know, because I'd see you on the show and be like,
he talked to me about it.
Yeah. Like, oh, see you on Friday. You know, like I was afraid I was going to say that. And then you'd be like, You know,
I'm
like,
see me on Friday.
Right. So that's why I kept giving him meaningful looks all through the last show.
Don't do it.
Yeah. So that was great fun. And then Saturday helped my cousin move.
And that was great fun.
It actually wasn't too bad, although I definitely got my 2,000 steps in that day, because to get to his condo, you had to walk downstairs to go back upstairs.
Oh.
Because it was like the place location was sort of on a hill. So the parking lot was above where the kind of it's like a large complex of condos. And
this is hurting my head.
And they're all...
There's a lot of stairs is what you're saying.
There's a lot of stairs.
Okay.
And then where they're moving to was also built on a hill, so there's a lot of stairs again. So it was an interesting time. So it was good. It was fun. And then...
Did they at least feed you or give you lemonade?
Oh, yes.
Nice.
Both. Oh, man.
Nice. And no one got hurt and it was not so... You know, there you go. Successful move.
Successful move. None of the furniture.
Your lower back is still on your lower back and not... Like around your knees.
Indeed.
None of the furniture is broken as far as you know. Okay. So, yeah, see? No one like got divorced or yelled at each other.
Back's
you know.
Good. Mm-hmm. It's all good.
So, yeah. And then that evening, my in-laws gave me a party. And
nice
then,
thing. Score.
Oh, yeah. Seriously.
And first you get the moving party.
That's true, man. That.
Yeah, and Sunday afternoon.
With lemonade.
Yeah, I know. And Sunday went out to lunch with my grandparents. So like it was like the birthday extended across the whole weekend. It was pretty impressive.
Nice. Right. Cool. Yeah.
I like to call lemonades half shandies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The non-alcoholic half of the shandy.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Okay.
Just so you know.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. For everybody out there.
So for our fan who's making the wiki page for our show, like, ooh, Jason mentioned,
right.
He likes to call it that.
Exactly.
Special note.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. Which it might be completely fictional on my part. But hey,
great.
Go for it, Wikipedia person.
It'll be fun. So how about you, Joe? What'd you do?
Let's see. Are you familiar with a film called The Raid Redemption? I think is the full-on title.
I am now.
Yeah. It's Dredd was sort of inspired by it, mm-hmm. a lot of people would say, because
okay.
the story is SWAT team goes into...
A bar.
No. An apartment building
uh-huh.
and to go after a drug lord, and chaos ensues. They get trapped inside... There's a lot of really awesome martial arts,
mm-hmm. okay.
some pretty decent gunplay. Yeah, it's
okay.
It's if you like the nicely choreographed fight scenes, it's definitely worth your time. The
sounds pretty good.
The yeah. dub is horrendous, but hey, I mean, you're not really watching it for that so much.
Yeah. Okay.
It's but yeah, it's overall actually like a pretty solid movie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's nothing like, oh, it's going to win an Oscar or something
right.
like that, but. It's a good time. You're like, I had a workout just watching it. Like, my eyes went, oh, the fight. Just twist and turn this. And, yeah, mm-hmm. it was intense. But,
cool.
But yeah, well worth your time if you're into that stuff. And then I jumped back into Assassin's Creed Revelation because I want to finish it so
uh-huh.
I can play 3, which most people say is garbage, but I don't care because I need to play that.
Yeah.
So I can be ready for 4 because I want to play Pirates.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
So I'm like, have a backlog of games, must get through.
Finish and, no, them
yeah.
all.
It's like, sure, I probably should be doing more important things, but I must.
What's more important than that? Come on.
These ready so when... new console comes out, I can devote time
mm-hmm.
to that and GTA 5 and other yeah. games that are still on the 360. There's too many games, man. It's just
there's too many good ones.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's,
yeah, and they dropped the price last week for GTA 4 like super low, and it was really difficult for me not to pick
okay.
it up, to be honest.
Because yeah,
that was the first one that I was really interested in trying out.
It's,
and never ended up getting around to it.
Yeah, it's a solid game. And the multiplayer was pretty fun. I dabbled in a little bit. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I did just played around in the lobby.
Uh-huh.
Basically
oh,
just
okay.
running around the city and just
doing
crazy stuff. So, yeah. you know.
Which honestly was one of the most fun parts of GTA in general is just like running into the city, around the city and like causing little mayhem, a lot of mayhem.
Yeah.
Just in exploring the world.
Yeah, they do a similar thing with Red Dead Redemption Online. Like the lobby, it's just the world. You just run around and then jump into
the game,
the games and stuff. So you can do tons of things. But
I totally thought for a second there, Caleb, that you were just talking about how much you enjoyed just partying in lobbies for some reason.
Oh yeah,
it's the lobby song.
Caleb's
lobby.
Always dancing.
Not
in
even
the lobby.
In video games necessarily. Just
lobbies of hotels.
Man,
so just
if there's a lobby, I'm there.
You're there.
I get my walking on.
He's got his
right.
his boombox. He sets mm-hmm. down in the lobby, turns it
right.
on. Just starts dancing. Dancing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Dancing.
It's the walk and dance plus glow sticks
mm-hmm.
is what it is on a string.
Yeah.
It can't be just regular glow sticks. I mean,
yeah,
you'll
yeah.
look a fool if you do that.
That's
they
true.
Have to be on a string
That's,
or mm-hmm. or nunchuck style.
It's very true.
Yeah.
It's very true. So, yeah, that's what I did. It sounds like we all had some decent times. I mean,
mm-hmm. yeah,
you
good
know,
times.
I think Caleb beat us just a tad.
Right.
I think the moving kind of put it over the edge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know?
I wish I would have had a half shandy. But
yeah. But oh well, what can you do? Maybe next week.
Maybe next time. Yeah.
I'll work on that.
Speaking of well, not really next time, but we have an awesome show for you tonight.
Indeed.
In the core, we're going to do another list thing. We had a good time last time. We did that a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Totally not because we didn't have anything else planned.
it was still fun.
Yeah. Still, we had a good time, and hopefully you had a good time out there as well. We're going to have game discussion, a few games that Jason played. Caleb hit up some games, and then, of course, Caleb's Corner, right?
Yes. Yes, indeed.
And the news, which we always do at the start of the show.
Right.
But before all
prepare
of
prepare to be amazed by the news, by
yeah,
the way.
Yeah, we
there's
got
gonna
some,
be some amazement.
Uh-huh. We got some good stuff for you in there. But before all of that, I'm going to give you the top five box office hits.
Oh,
okay,
yeah.
We
much
got,
better than the top four.
That's true. I like to add that extra one in there.
Mm-hmm.
We got
to show we care.
Yeah, it's true. People like five. Number one, we've got Two Guns with $27.3 million. Number two, Wolverine with $21.7 million. Number three, Caleb's favorite, Smurfs 2, $18.2 million. Am I right?
You stole my heart. How nice. Did they not make a third one already?
Right. First Two Guns, then Two Claws, then Two Smurfs.
Then Two Smurfs.
Two Smurfs.
Followed by number four, The Conjuring, with 13.6. And number five, Despicable Me 2, with $10.4 million. Which means a certain film that we've mentioned several times on the show
knocked
has
right
been
out.
Knocked out of the top five.
Congratulations, show that we will not name.
Yeah, we won't.
Yeah.
Movie that finally. Shall not be named.
Interesting fact, I was reading online that apparently Smurfs 2 hasn't been, the production cost have been entirely covered by product placements.
Wow.
Nice.
So that pretty much guarantees a third one then?
Probably.
If, I mean, it
dang.
May.
That is well built.
Yeah.
Right there.
That's all you got.
Is how you make a movie.
While I'm not sure I like the idea, I can say I can respect the fact that they were able to pull that off.
Smurfette, is that you drinking a Pepsi? It is blue.
I'm sorry, no. Like it is a Coca-Cola.
No, that's...
Give me that Mountain
Dew.
A red
can, yeah. I like... Sun-kissed raisins, don't you, Papa Smurf? They are the best.
I like sun-kissed raisin-flavored soda.
With my Butterfinger.
Flavored soda.
Ew.
Oh, yeah. Come on. Yeah. I saw you drinking one the other day.
What?
Fresh blended.
It's all right. Called a milkshake. It's very different.
Before we completely gross ourselves out and we get to the new releases... We're going to tell you about the radio stream, because if you want to listen to KSU, even when you're not near a radio, you can stream us whenever you want at ksu.org or on the TuneIn Radio app or website and never be without the underground sound. All right,
right.
Gentlemen,
mm-hmm.
Here's what's coming out in the theater. We've got Percy Jackson, Sea of Monsters.
Previews actually look kind of fun.
People with one eye. Nathan Fillion's in it.
Woo!
Does he have one eye? I don't know.
Okay. I saw two.
Oh, I guess he's got two.
Okay, we've got We're the Millers, Lost for Words, Blood, Elysium, both normal and IMAX experience.
Ooh.
Okay.
And I Give It a Year.
Elysium?
To what?
That's the name of the movie.
Okay.
And another movie, In a World, ..
Really?
So is it about Don Lon Fontaine? I'll look that up while you do the rest.
And Jugface. And Lovelace.
That sort of rhymed.
And Off Label.
That didn't.
And Planes, both in 3D and non-3D.
Oh, yeah, I completely forgot about that.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to try and forget about it.
another movie called Saturday Morning Mystery, and I'll round it out with Prince Avalanche.
Hmm. So wait, is this the first time that Pixar has lapped itself with movies, or no?
No, Planes is technically a Disney production.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, okay. There's no... Yeah, I noticed that finally. I was like, there's no mention of Pixar on this. I don't think this is...
Yeah. And apparently, Inner World is about an underachieving vocal coach who is motivated by her father, the king of movie trailer voiceovers, to pursue her aspirations to become a voiceover star.
Nice.
I'm actually really interested in that now.
It is rated R. So it's perfect even more for you.
So. Wait, what does that mean?
You like your movies rated R for radical.
Yeah. All right, if the theater releases don't thrill you, maybe you need to beef up your Blu-ray and DVD collection with Absence or perhaps Aftershock.
Ooh. Dang.
Or maybe Berserk. Golden Arcs 2, Battle for Doldre. Yeah, that was a very long title.
I got to check that one out, actually.
That one's not for the kiddies. For darn no. Sure.
What? If you it's know, rated R, sort of.
Yeah. Then there is Black Lagoon, Roberta's Blood Trail, which is a follow-on to a very good series. Magic on DVD.
Which is rated R.
I think it might be. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Mud.
Shot in the dark there.
On Blu-ray and DVD.
Also rated R?
I don't remember. And then Oblivion on Blu-ray and DVD.
Oh.
That one I'm pretty sure is actually R, but I'm not positive about that.
Really?
Either. I'm not. I could have been PG-13.
Yeah,
I can't remember.
I can't imagine him being anything R.
R?
R.
Yeah. So there you go. That's something that maybe will fill your time.
He's not very piratey.
All right, so moving from Blu-rays and DVDs to the video game world, we've got Pikmin 3. Hey, something new for the Wii U, everybody.
Nice.
Tales of Xillia, probably butchered that, but oh well. Dragon's Crown, The Sims 3, Dragon Valley.
Dang, a lot of dragon stuff.
Mm-hmm. Steam World Dig. Ib and Ub.
Also a dragon thing.
Mm-hmm,
I have
mm-hmm.
no clue.
And this week starts the first game of the Summer of Arcade with Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons.
Nice.
Mm.
Dang, it's like I've had to wait all summer for the Summer of Arcade.
It's true. You
have shaking
to do
my
it.
Head in disgust right now.
That's what you have to do. I'm sorry.
Okay.
That's what they make you do. They make you wait for Disney Planes for the Wii U. There's another Wii U game.
Sweet.
And I will finish it off with Super Frog HD.
All right.
Huh.
Well, if those don't thrill you, then how about Detective Comics number 23? Or
how could those not thrill you?
I don't know. I'm just saying if.
Yeah,
if.
Okay, he said if.
Okay,
said
okay. No matter how big the if is.
Mm-hmm. Then Trillium number 1 also dropped. Those are both coming out of DC and Vertigo. And then from the Marvel side, there is Superior Spider-Man number 15.
So is he in fact superior at this point, or
depending on how you feel about it?
Okay,
you know, it's a different.
What
Spider-Man.
Are your thoughts on the superiority of him at this point?
He's very different, especially with this latest costume iteration. It sounds like looks like there's some even heavier genetic modifications going on. Could be interesting. There's also Avengers number 17, which is part of their Infinity summer story arc thing.
Infinity.
Then over for the and those that are not the big two, there is Catalyst Comics number 2, or perhaps you would prefer Godzilla Rulers of the Earth number 2.
I like Godzilla better.
Yeah. Well. There's that too. You just got to pronounce it differently.
Right.
Sidekick number 1 from Image, and rounding it out with Lords of Mars number 1.
Mars things.
Whoa.
Yeah. Hey. This is apparently going to be a crossover between Tarzan and John Carter of Mars.
Whoa.
Which is not the film version, but the original novelization by Edgar Rice Burroughs.
Still. Whoa.
Yeah. Whoa. Whoa.
That's quite the...
The pairing.
Yeah.
Just whoa.
All right, so that does it for the new releases. Hopefully you found something within there that will tickle your fancy.
I like the cover of Catalyst. I'm thinking about grabbing it just for that.
Nice.
just for you folks out there.
Well, then maybe that'll spark their like, ooh, Jason liked it. I'm going to go check it out.
Mm-hmm. He's into art.
It's true. It's true.
From his wiki page that I'm writing right now.
Speaking of things that actually do exist on the internet, Caleb, why don't you tell the folks how they can participate on the show and interact and all that jazz before we get to our music break.
Gladly. If you would like to feed us interesting stories, your opinions, or whatever about anything we talk about, you can find us on Facebook. Or we do a search for it, Robots Attack, two words, and that'll be us. Or you can find us on Twitter. Our handle is Robots Attack Me. Or you can find us on ye olde email at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And finally, if you're just like, can't write that fast enough, just robotsattack.me.
You said that very calmly. I respect that.
Yeah, I just got, easy into it. Robotsattack.me.
You just got to hold your hands level.
Mm-hmm. Interact
and
button.
And say it slow.
Yes, is where you can find links to the things I've mentioned, so you don't have to try and remember them off the top of your head. And we also have archived episodes of our show and comment section. So feel free to
comment on all of our old shows.
Yep.
Or new stuff. I mean,
exactly.
Whatever you really liked.
And we'll have all that stuff open during the show. So feel free to participate at will.
Yeah.
Yes.
Heck, talk about your love of spam.
If you feel so inclined.
Sure.
Yeah.
Why not? Could be interesting, especially if they figure out a way to combine it with stuff we're talking about.
Like, right?
Yeah. If you can do that, we will definitely read that on the air.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to the music break. I'm gonna play a track called "Siren Song" from the band Rogue Wave from the album Nightingale Floors.
Dang, sounds enchanting.
We'll see. They're a local band. Alrighty.
Oh, very cool.
You're listening to Robots Attack, one only Geek Center talk show here on KCU Santa Clara.
Attack.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
San Jose Animal Advocates, are you an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer? Join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join us at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for us on Facebook.
News.
All right, welcome back to Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Sister talk show here on KSCU Santa Clara. We are now in the news.
Okay, I'm going to start out the news by asking you all a simple question.
Okay.
How many of you had one of those big wheels trikes?
Oh, me.
You did? Okay.
I raised my hand, but it wouldn't do much good on the radio.
I missed out on that. When I found out about this, I was sort of halfway psyched, at least for a moment. I'll get to why. They made an adult size one that's made with actual, like, normal bicycle tubing and whatnot.
Uh-huh.
And it looks just like a giant one of them. Unfortunately, it doesn't have the little handbrake thing, which, to me, kind of ruins the entire thing. But it does have normal bicycle-style, like, clampy, brakey thingies.
Okay.
But, unfortunately, it's not quite as light on the wallet as the original was. Way back in the day, you could pick up one of the originals for only $15, apparently.
Mm.
Yeah, I was kind of blown away by that. Man, the 80s was a long time ago.
And if you count for inflation, it's probably now $20.
Right. Well, apparently, if you buy them now, they're between $60 and $100, so...
Crikey.
Whoa.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's the new economy for you. But the full-sized person one will only set you back about the same, well, a little bit more than one of the new Xboxes will. So it's still kind of expensive, but hey, totally worth it to in order to relive your youth, right?
Yeah, totally.
It has really nifty, like, full-on racing-looking back wheels on them, and if you ever, like, end up screeching out way too much on them, doing, like, backflips that completely wear them out, it's mm-hmm. only a little bit less than $100 to replace those, and... But it has, like, a soft seat this time instead of the hard plastic one. It's all adjustable. And
wow.
They really thought this through. It actually looks kind of slick and mean, too, other than the fact that it's an adult big wheel bike.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the company is called High Roller, and they literally call it the High Roller Adult-Sized Big Wheel Drift Trike.
Very cool.
Hmm. Have fun drifting on it.
So are we gonna see a Fast and Furious?
Right.
Oh my gosh! Yes, someone needs to make this YouTube movie.
Fast and Furious trike.
Toddlers and
something like that.
Hopefully
yeah.
not in Tierras.
Yeah, triking. Here's open.
Toddlers well, and Tierras triking.
From a bit of our childhood brought to the modern age. To a bit of our childhood now made tall with a 35-foot Dalek out in in England.
What?
Yes. Out in the Cheshire...
Wow, that's quite large.
The Cheshire countryside, there is a 35-foot straw Dalek with a motor for a head in its head and a motor in its gun arm.
Oh, man.
What's the name of the company now? Anyway, there's a company out there that's been doing these large scale straw structures for the past 10 years.
Why does Britain get all the good straw structures?
I don't know. Snugbury was the designer. Oh no, Snugbury is the company. And their marketing director...
The company and the designer.
No, the designer was somebody else. The designer is Mike Harper. But anyway...
Who is better known to his friends as Snugberry.
The Royal Baby was also a contender, but with this being the 50th anniversary of Doctor Who, the Dalek won. And it also will emit sound. It will taunt you as you drive by.
Nice. Kind of a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, apparently
just
it's
a wee bit.
Yeah, volunteers did put in about 700 man hours to create this thing. And if you, Snugbury is a dairy. And if you buy a Dalek ice cream cone, a percentage of the proceeds
nice.
Will be donated to cancer research in the United Kingdom. So if you are an international listener and it's still going on in your area, head out to the... If you buy your ice cream, if you get a Dalek in Cheshire country, you can give back to cancer research as well as enjoying a delicious ice cream cone.
So exterminate kind of cool. cancer.
Exterminate your hunger. Give back to
I knew that would I just had
cancer
to,
research.
Just had to start the engine.
Give back. Give.
Nice. Well, I after you did that story, I went, okay, I know exactly what my next one is.
Nice.
The 12th Doctor Who is Peter Capaldi.
Yep.
In a Doctor Who special that was screened live on the BBC yesterday, it was announced that Peter Capaldi will be the 12th Doctor. Peter Capaldi, 55, so they're going with an older doctor this
right.
time,
mm-hmm.
is perhaps...
I was getting scared they were going to go with Justin Bieber next or something like that.
Yeah. Is perhaps best known for his turn as the spin doctor Malcolm Tucker in a celebrated British comedy The Thick of If and the film In the Loop. Born in Glasgow, Capaldi has also featured in many British TV shows over the last 20 years. He even appeared in Doctor Who back in 2008, playing Caecilius in the episode The Fires of Pompeii. And also,
I remember that.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. And also had a role in Torchwood, Children of Earth. Capaldi said, quote, "Being asked to play the Doctor is an amazing privilege. Like the Doctor himself, I find myself in a state of utter terror and delight." We'll get our first glimpse of the new Doctor in this year's Christmas special when Matt Smith hangs up his bow tie and sonic screwdriver for good.
Yeah, he looks the part. I'm interested to see what the actual costuming is going to be to accompany his particular look.
Interesting bit of Doctor Who trivia. He is the same age that Patrick Troughton was when he started as the Doctor.
Who's which that?
Patrick Troughton was the very first Doctor back in 1966.
Oh, full circle. Take that, Bieber.
Or 63. Yeah.
Somewhere Bieber is crying.
Stop talking about Justin Bieber.
I just said Bieber. I didn't say which one.
As if there's more than one. that's famous.
The Bieber quota for the show has gone way over. Stop talking about it. But yeah, it'll be about interesting with an older Doctor, what the companion situations will be and all that stuff. So yeah, it's going to change stuff up. It's going to be interesting. To wait and see.
Yeah, sounds cool.
Yeah.
You next or should I take over next?
I guess I'll go ahead.
Okay.
Well, I don't know. How old is Justin Bieber right now? Do you know?
I can look it up.
One more Bieber, I'm turning your mic off.
Well, anyway, I don't know for sure, but I think he might not qualify for this next product. Somebody figured out a really awesome way to recycle coffee grounds. They figured out a bunch of like composting ways and whatnot. It has some problems with being really acidic.
Yeah.
But somebody figured out how to make it into alcohol.
Turn coffee grounds into alcohol.
Not strictly speaking, okay. But sort of. So they figured out a way to take coffee grounds, which generally we probably think of as worthless, and turn it into a strong...
great for compost.
Kind of...
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. Just
and kind of bitter type of drink, which is apparently absolutely like the regular coffee drink. They figured out that all they have to do is dry out the grounds at about 325 degrees. They add a little bit of sugar and yeast, kind of the normal fermentation thing.
Okay. Yep.
And they just ferment it as usual, and it'll crank out about 80 proof alcohol, actually.
Whoa. Huh. That is respectable.
Ooh. Yeah. Unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you look at it.
It'll kill you.
Well, that's the fortunate part, sort of. Because most of the caffeine in the process is destroyed through the fermentation. Yeah. So, it has slightly less of a chance of killing you.
Well, there you go, then.
But you get
it's definitely
less
something I look for in my
also.
Alcohol.
Yeah.
No killing? Chance to kill me.
Well, there you go, then. That is actually kind of awesome. And Bieber is 19, so he is disqualified from this.
Oh. Yes.
Sorry.
Some unnamed youth cannot have.
I really don't want to turn both your mics off. Then it's just me doing the show. It's not going to be that exciting.
No, I don't do that. At least not right now.
later.
Maybe. So from coffee grounds to alcohol to backpacks on your birds. How about that?
Okay. Wait, what?
All right, makes sense.
They totally are related in some bizarro world. No, researchers have been wondering, like, you know, what do birds do when there are large tropical storms like Sandy or other like weather events that would normally interfere with their migratory patterns.
Mm.
How do they respond? What do they do? Where do they go? Like,
what do they put on their backs?
How do they avoid these situations? They go backpacking in Puerto Rico. No, they. So the researchers have created Andrew Farnsworth is from Cornell University is leading this, and he's designed a backpack with a number of sensors and transmitters on it that will...
Transmit sensors, keeping track.
Sure. That can actually fit onto a songbird. So this thing is less than 4 ounces. Because if you were to put a 9-volt battery to power this...
They would drop like a rock.
Yes, because the battery weighs more than the bird.
Unless it's a heavy-duty battery, and those things are pretty light.
It's possible.
Yeah.
So
ironic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Like rain on your wedding day. For
free ride when you want to go back.
That's just unfortunate. Come on now. No,
my singing voice is not bad, is
it? Damn.
Oh, stop it.
Okay, I will.
So the since you can't like put batteries on there, lithium batteries are expensive and they're hard to come by, and they're better used for other purposes. The original was trying, Mr. Farnsworth and his team were trying to figure out how best to power this device, and they happened upon the wonderful world of piezoelectronics. And if you piezoelectronics. If you don't remember what a piezoelectric device is, it is that generates an electric current by the motion of the device.
Okay.
A practical application of this in the past was to put these into the boots of soldiers so they could power their modern technology while
it was also in the power glove, right?
No. They could they're marching.
It wished
it could be that cool. The power glove, that is. The device was put into their boots to power their electronics, and it worked, except that as the research went on, they found that they were expending more energy by trying to keep the boots moving to power the devices than they would be just getting batteries shipped there.
You're not supposed to be telling them, run in place now.
I don't think they were doing that either, unfortunately. But they found that for larger scale electronics, not so good. But for something that's got to power a small receiver and an occasional transmission back to the research station.
Okay.
A bird flapping its wings will generate enough power to keep this thing going, and they can send it out the data out in bursts, so they don't wear out the power cells.
A bird pack burst.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So that was pretty cool. People using modern technology to better research
to tire out birds.
No, the bird's already going someplace. We're just finding out where it is.
And how cute is that, little backpack on a bird?
It is true. It is true. I can't think of much more cute than that.
Nope.
Other than puppies sleeping with kittens.
That is pretty adorable, too. Speaking of adorable, you're listening to Robots Attack, the one and only geek-centric talk show here on KSCU Santa Clara.
Aww.
103.3 FM, the underground sound. So, from birds with backpacks to mapping the human brain by playing iWire.
God bless you. What?
Yes. The story from Polygon. Oh, I should mention all of our stories we throw up on our Facebook page and Twitter, so you can go and check them out. Because a lot of times there's a picture or a video attached, like this story I'm going to talk about right now. Okay. This professor from MIT, Sebastian, I apologize for butchering your last name, Seung, needs your help. Modern neuroscience is about a century old, Song explained in a YouTube video, but there's still much the discipline doesn't know, like all the neural connections in the retina, for example. That's where you come in. Quote, only if we mobilize an army of fearless explorers will we ever succeed in mapping out all the connections in the retina. That's why he and his team of neuroscientists and computer scientists at MIT created iWire, which turns the laborious process of mapping the human brain into a video game, a, quote, quest to map the brain, as he calls it in the video above. The idea is to outsource the time-consuming work to players who are better at deciphering patterns in a given cube of neural matter than artificial intelligence, and whose play can create better AI. Since the game's launch last December, more than 70,000 people have played iWire. Quote, it takes players about 3 minutes on average to complete a cube, iWire creative director Amy Robinson told Wired. Quote, so they've spent an equivalent of 6 years of time on iWire since the launch.
Here's to you, Amy Robinson.
Mm.
So if you're interested, you can sign up at the official iWire website. And again, like I mentioned, this story, as well as the others we've mentioned on our Facebook page and Twitter, check them out if you so desire.
Sweet.
So do you? I have to do one more.
Okay.
Because this was just way too cool and to pass up. I can't pass it. Anyway.
Just go on.
I know everybody's been thinking, if only I could have a hamburger that was grown in a clinical setting.
I know I have never had that thought, but
I don't know why you wouldn't be thinking that.
Zim had that thought, though.
Wow, that's true. I didn't even think about that.
Space meat.
Man, Zim was like years ahead of all of these people. Anyway, yeah, they're figuring out how to grow hamburgers in a lab through effectively cow stem cell research. And NASA has already messed around with this a little bit, trying to grow proteins on their own to be able to feed people in space and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And they even went so far as to try and create a 3D printer to print out meat in a similar sort of fashion.
Right.
Well, it sounds like it's the most promising of the technologies so far, and they finally created a burger that was consumed by human beings. It just costs a little bit under a third of $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
Just for the one burger. So they're working on it, well, being a little bit cheaper.
Obviously.
I heard about this. Now, was that just to get the process, like, to create the process, and then from there they can actually...
This is the first burger, so admittedly at this point it will be the most expensive.
So
the next one it will be half
not
that,
so much.
Roughly. But mainly the thing is just the amount of time that it takes right now.
Mm.
They're not predicting this is going to become a full-fledged usable thing for another decade where they can completely amp up the process of spitting this stuff out really fast. Anyway, back to the actual eating of the burger.
Yeah, what is it? No, that's the real question. What does it taste like?
Well, just on a hunch, they figured that since it's pretty much just protein, this was manufactured without any fat in it whatsoever. It's
okay.
Just the beef protein, or as close as they can get it.
Mm.
They did fry it, number one, to add a little bit of fat.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
It was said that it apparently wasn't objectionable.
Okay. So they got as far as it didn't suck.
Right.
Okay.
Though it was tougher than normal meat.
Well, again,
I think they kind of walked on eggshells around trying to describe exactly what it was like. But still, I mean, how cool is it that they're trying to make hamburgers that they can just pump out of a lab?
Mm-hmm. And it being the very first one, the fact that it's actually edible and not completely objectionable is reasonably impressive.
Right. And it kind of is nice that they're figuring out something like this, since a lot of people are going with the high-protein diets and whatnot, and
mm-hmm.
the unfortunate side of that is that right now the Earth cannot support us all going to a high-protein diet all at once, which... we're kind of doing here in California.
Yeah. Thankfully, we're somewhat we're not completely
right.
taking over the whole world with this
right.
one.
The rest of the world is a little bit behind us on the high-protein diet thing, so we're not going to completely destroy the world with...
just yet.
...with beef every place quite yet. But we're working on it. But anyway, so if they can actually start growing this stuff that is more along the lines of what people consider an ideal protein, or a growing segment of the population consider
mm-hmm.
it an ideal protein, it would be much better than a bunch of cows that are foofers all over the place.
Mm, indeed, indeed. So do you have another one, Joe, or should we wrap up the... All right, let's wrap it up with our robot story. So from space meat to robots in space. Now
robots
we've,
in space.
We robots have been going up to space for a while now.
I don't believe
satellites
it.
Satellites and stuff like that.
Whoa.
But Japan is actually sending up a little robot that they are calling...
He's kind of cool looking.
Called Kochi Wakata. And he
looks like the Toonami robot.
He is loosely based on the designs of Astro Boy from the... I said loosely.
In that he has hands?
No, there's a... anyways. The
he does have red feet, so...
Yeah, Kirobo is 13 inches tall And he'll be arriving on the ISS August 9th, which is just a few days from now. And cool. What makes him interesting, what they're working on is the robot will actually talk. And the idea is to try and see if they can use if a robot or a synthetic device can help people that are dealing with prolonged exposure, removal from normal human contact.
Okay.
Oh, this is Moon. If you haven't seen Moon, see Moon. But go ahead.
Sure.
Does it talk like Kevin Spacey?
I'm sure you could program it to. It's nice. A robot after all. Okay. But the point is that since we're looking into now deep space exploration or deeper space, since we're still inside the solar system and it's going to be a long time to get much beyond that. Anyways, this might help whatever crews we do send, if they're relatively small, like they won't have a lot of interaction, and so this might be a way of alleaving some of that. They're hoping to see, they're testing out to see if it will actually work or not, but it looks like it has potential because it's darn cute for a robot. And anyway, it'll be interesting to see where that goes, because robot science is fun.
Yeah, its eyes, the way that they placed them and the little thing connecting them, it sort of looks like miniature Robo Riddick.
I can see how you would, yeah.
It but sees in the dark.
Or something like that. All right, I think that rounds out our news section for now.
I do believe yes. All right, let's take a music break, and then we'll come back with Caleb's Corner.
That's right. And I'm going to be talking about sticking with your ideas.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah.
All righty. I'm going to play the track Meanwhile from the band Mantra. The album is a collection called The Good Old Days Are Gone and They're Never Coming Back. There you go. You're listening to KSCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound, Robots Attack.
And now, it's time for Caleb's Corner.
Hello, everyone. This is KSCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound. And this is Caleb's Corner, where I get to talk about something that I think is really, really cool. And today it is, I read a really neat article interviewing Jane Nee. Oh man, her name is from somewhere out in the country of
Dolchawantai.
That is closer than I would have gotten. Good on ya. Who is the inventor of a material known as Shugru. And it is a silicone-based rubber which cures in the air and is extremely resilient and is hand moldable. So imagine silly putty that when you're done with it, it will have stuck to something, won't break, but it's still flexible and is now really multi-purpose purposeful. So you can like repair shoes, fix parts. It's safe and it's safe to go into your dishwasher. You can its applications are not quite limitless, but they're pretty darn close.
I think I'm in love.
Yeah, this stuff is really cool. The company has been she's been working on this material for about 10 years now, trying to bring it into like the success that it is today. Started off in a small farm and then went to college for design and figured that the part of her ethos in making this was a desire to deal with things that need to be fixed. So when you live on a small farm, you don't necessarily have a lot of money, but you have a lot of things.
That's true.
You know, like you have, like you keep the parts that aren't broken off of things that you cannot actually repair, so you can repair something else, or you need
you
to
bash.
Yeah, you kit bash. You need to make something new, you bodge it together. You know, things like that. And so, but she's looking around the world today, and she's the one thing she saw is that people get a finished product and then they do nothing with it. Like a smartphone, for example, it's sort of what it is. You can put something around it, but you can't really do much to make it more personal. Or okay. a pen, or a pocket camera. Like, these are all finished products, and they could probably be improved with a little personalization if we wanted to, but we don't really get that option.
Fit your hands better and so on.
Exactly. Like, you know, if you have a DSLR that the grip isn't quite right, you could use this to build up the grip or mold the grip to your hand so that it would be more comfortable to hold. One of the stories that they like to, and one of the ways that they have been sort of promoting this wonder material is by really reaching out to the community and helping people see what they as individuals can do with this.
Ooh, please tell me and free samples.
I don't think they do free samples, but it's a very inexpensive material.
Okay.
But like the whenever someone does something really cool with it, they always share it back with the community, and they promote and they request that people send them their cool things they do with it, even if it's not really huge. But like when you see what everyone else is doing, it kind of inspires you to do your own. One of their kind of big stories though was. Joanne, his name is actually, I can't find her last
name. Joanne's Fabriques.
No, Joanne was a lady out in England, UK, lives in the UK. And
she lives in the middle of a lake, it looks like.
No, she doesn't have, her left hand is not fully formed.
Okay.
And there's like, they have a link to her fuller story in the article that I've linked to. But she wanted to do a triathlon or one of those high endurance races that's several stages, you know, right. Swimming, biking, running, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, she reached out to, the Shugru people to, see if they would help her out with like helping her customize her kit. And they agreed to do that as well as sponsor her. And it has worked out famously. And one of the things they do that's kind of unique besides building a strong community is that they do all their manufacturing locally. They do it all in a factory that they own. And since they work in rather small batches, they can also change things almost on the fly. Like they don't need to warn a manufacturing plant over in China to hold back on that next batch because they want to change something. They can just make a new batch and try out the ideas so they can be more agile as a company responding to their own needs and the needs of their users.
Okay.
Cool. So a lot of cool stuff there. And their next big thing is a new foil for fencing foil developed by Leon Paul. British fencing manufacturer, and they don't when you buy one of these new fencing foil handles, it's just a chunk of metal, like it's formed in a way that would start to be a fencing foil, but there's no rounding of it. It's just a blank slate, and then they give you several packs of Shugru with it, and you make it your own hand form. So
that's pretty neat.
This is kind of like...
I won't lie, that's kind
of
neat.
Yeah, so this is like they're hoping to start more of these kind of projects where it's like...
Count Dooku would love this stuff.
Yeah, where it's they give you a...
Before he got his hands cut off.
Yeah, a mostly finished product that you can
customize.
Well,
there's that. Yeah. Hey, maybe you'd like it even better now.
So anyway, the world is opening up to modifying things to better fit your life rather than just accepting what they've given you because that's what they gave you. And this nice. Is... And this is part of the whole maker mentality. Like if you can't open it, you can't fix it, then it's not really yours kind of thing. So, but this is some cool stuff you can do.
I'm totally buying this stuff. I'm not even lying. I'm looking at Amazon right now.
Nice. And we'll have like Caleb's Corner. We'll have the link on the Facebook and the Twitter and stuff. So you can check it out for yourself. See if it's something that you might be able to use, or you can tell all your friends about it and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of things you can tell your friends about, tell them about the Jewish Film Festival, taking the expansive and ever-changing notion of Jewish culture at the 3rd San Francisco Jewish Film Festival. The festival runs from July 25th through August 12th. Not much time left. In theaters in San Francisco, Berkeley, Oakland, Piedmont, Palo Alto, and San Rafael, experience a full complement of films, festivities, and special appearances. For more information about festival films and events, please call 415-621-0523 or visit sfjff.org. Alrighty, we'll take another quick little music break and then come back with some game discussions. Unfortunately, our show will be a little bit shorter this week due to some construction things that have to be taken care of at the station. But what can we do? We hopefully you've enjoyed what you've heard so far. But stick around. We still got a little bit left of the show. But we'll be back right after this track from the Buttercream Gang called Midnight Alarms. From the album Oh Brother, here on Robots Attack on KCU Santa Clara.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
All right, welcome back to KCU Santa Clara. 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. This is Robots Attack. You know, if you want to listen to KSU even when you're not near radio, you can stream us whenever you want, KSU.org, or on the TuneIn Radio app or website, and never be without the Underground Sound. We are now in the game discussion of Robots Attack, one and only geek-centric talk show. Jason played a little game called Mars Warlogs, so I'm going to have him tell us all about it.
Yeah, prepare to take your shots, because this is definitely a spiritual successor to the Mass Effect series.
Gulp.
The thing is, it will definitely throw you off for two reasons. It's definitely putting a lot more emphasis on melee, which is kind of a neat little twist.
Mm-hmm.
And it's definitely putting a lot more emphasis on being like the cable versus network version of Mass Effect. So
okay.
It's a much grittier story. It's a lot grittier language.
Mm.
This is not for the faint of heart folk out there.
Okay.
So just to warn you, it plunges you directly into a very adult storyline right away.
Mm-hmm.
But that said, it's if we're being like one of the smaller studios and trying to produce a game of Mass Effect quality,
mm-hmm.
they came really close, in my view, to coming to Mass Effect 1 quality, at least.
Okay.
And
which is very respectable.
Right. Just the overall look of it is really well detailed and everything. The only sort of downside about it is kind of the classic problem whenever they do stuff that's themed completely on Mars is that a lot of stuff is red.
Mm.
So it might kind of kill you on the color palette right there, but they did make a pretty respectable system for leveling up your character, doing kind of interesting things. In Mass Effect 3, or 2 and 3, they ended up changing things around so that you could map buttons to be quick uses of different powers.
Mm-hmm.
They do sort of the same thing in this. There's not so much and so many like magical-ish powers right at the beginning, but it does end up mapping things to be used as different weapons and stuff like that. So effectively, you can map out your entire scheme to have your triggers represent grenades and weapons, and one of your bumpers represent like healing potion type things and so on.
Okay.
So it seems like they put a lot of thought into making it a fairly fleshed out functional system.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the sort of disclaimer from my point is that this is completely my view from the demo, which I thought was really well put together, but I have heard that once you get a little bit deeper into it, it ends up having some problems with balancing.
Okay.
Which I can understand being a pretty big thing later. But in my view, it seems like just choosing slightly different combinations of things might end up kind of fixing that. So it'd be really interesting to at least mess around with it, and I still have a lot of respect for this kind of smallish studio putting together a really respectable product, especially from the rendering side of things. They figured out a really nice way of making light completely consistent every place in the room, which was a huge problem in my view, the entire Mass Effect series. You'd have very dynamic lighting. Right. They'd have the same light on the entire room, but it would look completely different on somebody's face versus, like, reflecting in their eyes versus on the wall behind them. Mm. It would end up not feeling quite right when you're trying to look at it that way. It still would pull off a pretty nice cinematic scene and everything, but in my view, this engine actually edges out Mass Effect, as especially when you consider that it's kind of more a direct comparison to the first Mass Effect game.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought it was pretty impressive, and I'm probably going to end up looking at it some more in the future, and so I can give you a little bit better idea of where it progresses from there.
Sounds like fun.
Nice.
Look forward to hearing about it.
Cool, cool. And you, just so people have a reference, you played this on?
Oh, on Xbox.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. So before you get to your next game, Caleb, you want to briefly talk about the, you?
Yes. I received as one of my birthday gifts, Dead Space 3.
Yes.
Now my trilogy is complete. I just need to finish it, and then it will be fully complete. Anyways, it's great fun. It's everything that I was enjoying about the game is very much there. I forgot that I had played a little bit of it with Jason. He brought it over so I could try out the actual disc game, not just the demo.
Right.
And I forgot that my save was there, and I jumped in. And I'm like, oh, I'm already in the game. That's right. I did play this for a little bit before.
Do you feel any difference between the demo and the actual game? I mean, I know you got a chance to already play it a little bit, but...
Not too much. The Dead Space series, more than quite a few others, is pretty good at keeping a very consistent feel while still, like, pushing the bounds of what the game is about, what it is, and
the mechanic of it.
Mm-hmm, yeah, it's like whenever they like tweak something, they make it, for lack of a word, more useful. Like, Kinesis is. Something that I didn't use a lot of in the others, like in the first, I used a lot of the slowdown one. Shoot, my brain just dumped its name. Anyway, but I'm actually found that I've been using the kinetic ability a lot more in this one, where with launching the spears. But also, they incorporate it more into how you interact with elements of the game. Like, you need to move a switch or trigger a door to open.
Yeah,
you can actually pump the button to kind of like. It's like you're like flexing the power to make it actually spin and stuff. It's a lot of really neat little touches like that make the game feel even more refined and better than it already did, which is pretty impressive in and of itself to me.
And giving you a feel from the perspective of an engineer too, I thought they did a really good job of
And another thing I love about the series is that it's not a military character. It's someone that would address all these situations from a completely different type of mindset, which is really cool, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of on that, did you play the demo co-op or solo?
Demo was co-op.
Okay.
I haven't.
How are you playing the...
Solo.
Okay.
Mostly.
Are you noticing a difference that way, or...?
The enemy count goes down a little bit, but the environment is always your greatest enemy in that game. So, I mean, not that it's... It's the greatest element of the game is the environment, so it doesn't throw me much that there's not like creatures in all the corners kind of thing. So
okay.
Do you think you want to play it first solo, or do you want to do it co-op, or?
I will eventually play it co-op. I think I want to do it solo first because I've went through all the others more or less solo, so kind of from. Advance through the story of Isaac with the single character perspective for now, and then maybe jump in with somebody else, like go back and play other earlier sections or something like that with that are co-op. So,
okay, cool.
All right, so our next game, Jason.
Well, it's sort of a doubleheader because I saw that Xenoclash 2 came out, and I was interested in it because it had a really interesting idea of how to play a first-person shooter, is that it's not about the shooting. It's actually a first-person melee game, which kind of feels a little bit like Mirror's Edge in a way, but it's not so much the free-running, it's just... it's a first-person brawler is the way that they explain it.
Uh-huh.
And it lives up to that pretty good. The first thing I noticed about it, it is the strangest game I have ever come across, I think. Pretty much every character that you come across is some kind of man-beast. The thing that's pretty neat about it, too, is that they did that, sort of, because... Mm-hmm. It's not like most of the first-person shooter games where you have a template of type of bad guys, and it's just nothing but hordes of them.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like everybody I came across is actually a unique character. I don't know if they have like a character generator type of thing, or they just figured out a better way of handling the data for it.
Not but just, the same guy in a different color shirt or something.
Right, exactly. It was pretty impressive. And there, you can totally tell that it's nowhere near the same guys because these are completely weird, twisted animals. A lot of them, since brawling is a big thing in the world, it seems to be carry over to the creatures. A lot of them are missing limbs and have, added different implements in order to allow them to...
Continue to brawl?
Exactly.
Interesting.
It doesn't seem like, as far as story-wise, it's the entire emphasis on the world, but it seems to be integral to their kind of version of law and so on, which ends up becoming kind of an interesting theme for the second one, and what made me kind of curious about the first one as well. So, I jumped back and downloaded the demo for the first one, and I was really surprised to find out I liked the first one way better just from what I was able to play.
Wow.
Because it has a lot of cutscenes, number one, and it's way more cinematic, so it feels more like you're in just a really weird movie.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of the stuff where they train you how to do different things is kind of the same idea, but... It still had a kind of a neat dream sequence where every time you get knocked out, you learn a new ability because your old fighting master is coming to you. I hope you haven't forgotten this, my student.
Oh.
And the fighting master is one of the weirdest things that I've ever seen too. And the entire environment, there's no. It's not like a building that's plopped down, and just made in a different pattern from another building in order to make it look different. Every single thing is a completely created curve to make it look like a completely organic environment. And
interesting.
That's interesting, not just because it's like a natural setting, which a lot of it is, it's cities made that way. So it's things that have been made by fabric being draped over things and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
Now, they don't have the best renderer in the world, so it's not the best textures in the world, and it doesn't end up having a whole bunch of really good ways of seeing through stuff and so on, but it's still, as far as a completely original feeling environment, I don't think I've ever seen anything like it. I think that'll be a breaking... Well, that'll be a game killer for a lot of people, because it is really strange.
Uh-huh.
And I like strange stuff, and I'm even debating how far do I want to go with this, because they do have weapons in it, they have guns and whatnot, but like I said, it's more concentrating on the melee, so they're more of a side thing that you can find to help you out in certain situations and so on.
Mm.
So in 2, the first gun that I pick up, it looks like a fish head with a stick sticking through it, and nails hanging off of it in different like directions.
Uh-huh.
So I had no clue how this was supposed to be a firearm of any sort, but it functioned like a firearm, and the game seemed to be implying that I needed to be shooting barrels or shooting clay pots off of the backs of camels that had weird little cages around their heads, and their heads were bobbing around like, yeah.
All right. This game is definitely odd.
Yeah, it is odd in spades. But it does seem to have a really involved storyline, and it kind of screwed up something by me doing the second one first. So if you're going to try it out, definitely do the first one, not just because it seems to have a little bit higher cinematic value, but it will lead the story a little bit better, too. And what I liked about the first one, too, is it's not just cinematic from all of the quality of how they do camera work and how they deal with how the camera focuses and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It treats it more like it's a murder mystery. And so it's particularly interesting because you're apparently the murderer. And figuring out why you did it and so on is kind of a neat thing.
Definitely a little bit of a twist on the scenario.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is a lot of interesting. It's a lot of weird. It's a lot to bite off of, but I think it might be worth it, at least for the first one, and see how you feel about the second one, knowing how it proceeds from there. Because it definitely seems to take a plot point from the ending of the first one and twist it in a way that I'm assuming you wouldn't assume it would go, because it teams you up with somebody who is your enemy right off the bat in the first one when you're playing the second one.
Huh.
Hmm.
Anyway.
Cool. Well,
sounds like fun.
Like that game and the other games we mentioned, I post links to them on our Facebook page. Speaking of our Facebook page, Caleb, tell them all about how they can be part of the show.
That's right. If you would like to be part of the show and do more, you can find us on Facebook.
And straighten out your chair.
Yes. Do a search for Robots Attack, two words. Or you can find us on Twitter. We are Robots Attack Me. And our email address is robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And finally, to put it all in one place, robotsattack.me. Go there. There's links to the things I've described, Facebook, Twitter, etc. And there is also archive episodes of our show. And you can also leave comments and interact with us there as well.
It has everything.
It's pretty awesome that way.
All in one convenient package.
One place. One URL to remember.
Right. And bonus, you can go through from episode one and hunt down the episode where I show up.
That's
it's a little game that you can play.
Yeah.
It is indeed. And we have Facebook and Twitter open throughout the evening, so we will keep an eye on those. And if you drop us a line, we will drop you a line as well.
Exactly. So now, because the station needs to take part in some outside forces out of our control,
right?
We are
the force is strong with this station.
Yeah, we have to wrap up our show a little bit shorter than usual, which means no core topic this week, which kind of works out pretty well. Yeah. But I pose to our listeners out there, if you have a topic you'd like us to discuss, let us know. Contact us in all the ways that Caleb mentioned. We would love to get some ideas from all of you, as well as some, you know, viewer feedback, email, all that sort of stuff. But yeah, we're going to wrap up the show for tonight. We're here every Monday during the summer hours from 6 to 8. We just have to wrap up a little bit earlier this time, but it's all right. I think we gave you plenty of entertainment to satisfy.
This is one of those pardon our mess type of environment things. The construction company modernizing this facility wants to shut things down.
Yes. But we will be back, as well as the station. Before we get out of here, I got one last PSA to wrap it up. If you're familiar with the show, you're familiar with this PSA. You can probably read it verbatim with me as well. Are you an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes, but have limited time to volunteer? Join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving, foster, and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join us at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for us on Facebook. And I know, too, one of their links they shared, it was the San Jose like Animal Care Center or something was looking for
I think towels.
Yeah, washcloths and stuff like that that they use in surgery and bedding and all that sort of thing. So if you got any extra ones of that, consider donating it to the animal care center.
They don't seem to want like completely brand new stuff. They want your stuff that's been gently used.
So yeah. So if you got some extra of that, consider dropping it off for the puppies and the kitties and all the other animals they have there.
Maybe turtles.
And the turtles. I know. Yeah, they do love towels.
They might be teenage turtles.
That's true.
Yeah. Potentially. Turtle years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Potentially ninjas.
Yeah.
Maybe. The, you know, probably maybe not the too towel, many they'll grow up into the...
It's mm-hmm. true.
Yeah. All right.
So bring your mutating towel.
And on that note, we'll wrap it up. Thanks for listening to Robots Attack here on KSCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the underground sound. Have a great rest of the week. Great weekend. See you back here on Monday. Take it easy.
Raccoon. Verona. Mistel.